celebrations, it's very chaviv to the kehillah and to the kollel is the Chanukah Masiba, which is the kollel began on the Chanukah, I think it was 14 years ago, and this Chanukah in a way is always the anniversary of the beginning of the starting of the kollel, amongst other things. And we have, it's always an opportunity to just also take a step back and thank everybody who was really a part of the success of the Kollel, which is first and foremost Avreichem, the Ingolite, who really put so much koyach and amelos in the learning, Yomim V'Laila, dedicate their lives to Limud HaTorah, and of course, in the Anashei HaKollel also, who support and encourage the Ingolite, and this is really the core of everything that we've seen of the tremendous growth. So Baruch Hashem, this is really a time to really think and recognize that tremendous effort. And obviously everyone has to participate in all those different ways and supports and encourages the Kollel and the Avreichem and the growth of the community. So we come together to recognize that and to realize that and to thank everybody. Tonight, we have a very special opportunity that was enabled to us by our chaver here, Mr. Dagmi. And it's rare an opportunity to have with us someone who's really a mashpia in the whole entire world, mashpia to people throughout the country, throughout the world, in so many different ways, hashkafa, halacha, and especially so many of our chaverim here in South Florida. Rabbi Mansour is really a dugma, role model in so many ways. I talk to so many people that say, my Rebbe is Rabbi Mansour. I said, do you know him? No, I never met him, but he's my Rebbe. And so it's really a tremendous zechiah that we have to have him here. I mentioned to Rabbi Mansour that I don't believe he was ever here in the Space Medrash, but before the Space Medrash was here, he was a major reason or someone that really enabled us to do it, because we had, before this was here, a group of people that wanted to get together at a parlor meeting to raise money for the purpose of the building, and they asked Rabbi Mansour to speak. And I guess he said the right things, because after that we were able to continue in the project. So we thank him for really being a fundamental part of this. And it's a tremendous zechiah to have with us Rabbi Mansour, and we'll come to hear the Divrei Torah.
Birshut, the Rosh Kollel, Rabbi Blazer, Shalita. Birshut Rabbanim, Hashuvim, כל אחד כפי כבודו ומעלתו, וברשות קהל קדוש. Although I did come with my family to South Florida for a couple of days of rest and relaxation, however, when I was told that there was an opportunity for me to come and visit the Kollel, there's no better place to spend Hanukkah then with Avrechim and with Baalei Batim that recognize the value and a Koveya Itim La Torah on a daily basis. For the simple fact that that's what the Yevanim, as you know, were trying to get rid of. Ask yourself a question. We understand why they wanted to sack the Beit Mikdash. They wanted to pillage it and wreck it, which they did. But it seems that they made a conscious effort to contaminate the oil. Like we say in the Ma'otzur, V'tim'u kol ha'shmanim. They went out of their way to be metameh the oils. We had to find one that was hidden. Tosfot says they had to make sure that it wasn't even moved, so you don't have a problem of tumat ziva. What do they want from the oil? Just destroy the Beit HaMikdash. They went after the oil. Since when is the oil the enemy of the state? Imagine United States of America, they have a war against the oil. That's your enemy? The Goyim, they have amazing enemies, the Goyim, you think about it. The Nazis, their enemy was the book. On the night of Kristallnacht, they burnt, besides 1,500 synagogues, but they burnt thousands and thousands of Sifrei Kodesh. They must know something. The enemy is the book, because they know that Klal Yisrael is the people of the book. So if you burn the book, there goes Klal Yisrael. The enemies could teach us a lot. That for us, our greatest asset is the Sefer. So Hitler knew that. So he says, we've got to burn the books. But the Greeks, they were even more sophisticated. They said, forget about the books. Go after the oil. And the explanation obviously is they weren't going after the oil per se, but they knew that if there's no oil, there's no menorah. At least there's no menorah tehora. I don't know if they were experts in hutra, besibur, and all that other stuff that they talk about, but they knew that you need, you know, kosher oil, pure oil. So what do they have against the menorah? It wasn't the aesthetics of it that they were just trying to, you know, darken the menorah, because they knew what the menorah represents. They knew that the menorah represents, like we say in the Gemara, Rotze lahkim yadrim. If a person wants to have and connect to the wisdom of Torah, let him go south, not Miami, but it means yadrim, although you're fulfilling that here. Today we could say, Rotze lahkim yadrim. If a person wants to be hakam, let him come to Miami today. In the olden days, it wasn't like that. We used to say, Hakim in the old days, Yatzfin, you had to come to New York and places like with Yeshiva, a place that we have in up to, in the north, but not anymore. Now it's said Hakim Yadrim, but they understood that the menorah represents the connection to Torah. So what Hitler did by burning books, the Yevanim did the same thing, just in a more sophisticated way. They went after the Mekor. They went after the origin of where Torah comes from, the menorah. There's no menorah, so we can't connect to that lofty chokhmah. So what better place to come to? Lehudim hayta Orah. We come to a place, Orazu Torah. We come to a place that's a bastion of Torah, that there's learning Yomam Valayla, and I understand you're learning Be'iyun. It's not stam superficial learning in this place. You're learning the proper way. You're learning thoroughly through the sugyot, Be'iyun, which is incredible. Exactly what they were trying to get rid of. So you fellows here tonight with the Rabbanim of the modern day Hashmonaim, the Shakeham Toratach, that was their intent. And here we come and we have Oske Toratecha. Not Lumde Toratecha, Oske Toratecha. Those that are toiling in the learning. Those that are making a great, great sacrifice of their time. But when they make that sacrifice, it's Torah in not only Kamut, but Torah in Echut. It's a qualitative learning. So, I did leave my family in the middle of dinner. They weren't too happy. But they got used to me already. I'm doing that for 30 years, so it's nothing new. But they said, that's it. The rabbi's coming. We have your attention for 4 days. But with Jonathan being my agent for all good things, Baruch Hashem, he's keeping us busy. So, I just want to tell you something that I heard many years ago from Rav Chaim Brim, alav shalom, and we used to learn with him. Thursday nights we used to study Mesilat Yesharim. He was Hasidah Kadisha of Yerushalayim. He lived in Me'ah She'arim, a small little, can't even call it a house, it's an abode. He lived Be'dohak, Be'oni. So Rav Chaim Brim would always make a connection between Parashat Miketz and Hanukkah. All the tzaddikim love that. They try to connect Miketz because it always comes out in Hanukkah time. Me and Jonathan were talking about it in the car, as a matter of fact, on the way here. And everybody tries to find Kisharim. There's the automatic ones. Paro's dreams, for example. So you had the skinny cows swallowed the fat cows. So that's, you know, Masanta Giborim Biyad Halashim. Then you have what the Balaturim said. Balaturim said that in this parasha you have a word that's only found one other place. That when Paro has the second dream, he dreams of the stalks. And the stalks are called Kanim. And the only other place you find Kanim, says the Balaturim, is by the menorah. The Kanim in the menorah. So he says, Kanim, Kanim. And he makes a whole discussion between that. And every tzaddik figured out some connection between Parashat Miketz I must say what my rabbi said, because we talked about it in the car. Acham Baruch ben Hayim, alav shalom. He was the Habruta b'Acham Avadiah Yosef in Porat Yosef at the time. They learned under Rabbi Ezra Atiyah, alav shalom. So he said, if you look at the end of this week's parasha, it's the only parasha that the rabbi that gives you the amount of pisukim in the parasha, in this parasha he gives you the amount of words. Strange, 2025. Why do you have to know how many words in parashat Miketz? So he would give us two answers. Because in this parasha, there's a controversy on one word, if it's one word or two. The word avrich, if you learned the parasha with Rashi. So Rabbi Akiva learned that what? Avrich is actually two words. Av v'chokhmah v'rach b'shanim. And then Ben Dur Maski told Rabbi Akiva, go back to learning, love this. What are you teaching? You're not a Humash teacher. You don't know how to learn Midrash. Go back to the Bet Midrash and teach, teach Sevara. It's not one word. It's not two words. It's one word. Aberich. Aberich is like they were bound. So you have a machloket between Tanaim, between Rabbi Akiva and Ben Dur Maskit, is Avrech. One word or two. So the rabbi who wanted to be machriya, so there's 2025 words in the parasha, not 2026. So therefore, he ruled like Ben Dur Maski. That's why he gave the amount of words in this parasha, because there was a machloket on the word. But that's one answer. But my rabbi said, Remez to Hanukkah. He also weighed in. He said, Remez to Hanukkah. We light 8 Nerot on the 25th of Kislev. Ner is 250, Gematria that is. And 8 times Ner is 8 times 250, which is 2,000. And we start lighting the 8 Nerot on the 25th of Kislev. So therefore he gave Remez, the amount of words in the Parashah, 2,025. Okay, so there's Remez there as well. So Rav Chaim Brim, alav shalom, he would tell us like this. He said that the Arizal writes that the Orot that come down on Hanukkah are very, very unique Orot, the lights, the Shefa. I don't mean the physical lights. I know many of you probably do not mechaven when you light the menorah with Kavanot Ari. But maybe one day you'll take a peek and you'll start to see what type of treasures come down to the world on a weekday. This is a weekday. It's not a day that's not even, doesn't even have Dimur Chol HaMoed. It's Mamash Yemei Chol. And to have such Shefa come down, and it only comes down during these days. So therefore, Rav Chaim said, you have to be very wise that there's certain periods of the year that they're called Yemei HaSova, the days of plenty, where there's a great Shefa that comes down, but you have to store it, because after Hanukkah is over, then you got a long winter. You have a long winter zman coming up. You have an extra Adad this year. So that's the long winter nights, the cold nights. So he said you need to take from the Yemei HaSova of Hanukkah that has so much treasures of Ruchniyut, and you need to squirrel it away. So when the Yemei HaRa'av come, because the next holiday, the next station stop, well, Tu B'Shvat, you'll eat some carrot, but that doesn't count. The next station stop is Purim. So you have a long distance. So you need to take from the kohot, and I guess that's why the Rosh Kolel and the rabbis make these parties, to give the members an opportunity to grab and harvest as much as they can from the Chag, and take that energy and load up and, you know, give themselves a charge. So he said that's the connection between the parasha, because obviously the parasha talks about Yosef HaSadiq in the years of plenty, the physical years of plenty, that he was able to create a system where he stored the food. So Egypt was the only superpower that when everybody else was starving, they had food in the Yemei HaRa'av. So that's a connection between the Chag and Miketz. It's telling you what Yosef did in Mitzrayim in the physical sense, so we must do that in the spiritual sense as well. Do not let these days just pass by and go by unfulfilled. I will tell you something. I once asked a question, then later on somebody showed me that actually the Baal Shem Tov discusses it. The question that I asked was, we say Shabbat Vayinafash. So what does it mean Shabbat Vayinafash? The Gemara says Vayinafash, Vay Nefesh. That we know that on Motzei Shabbat, that Neshama Yitra that we received on Erev Shabbat, it leaves us. So we say Vay Nefesh, woe to the Nefesh that is now abandoning us. But my question was, hold it. It doesn't say Motzei Shabbat Vayinafash. It says Shabbat Vayinafash, which sounds like to me that when Shabbat comes in, already we're saying Vay Nefesh. Hold it. That you're supposed to be saying on Motzei Shabbat, not when Shabbat comes in. Understand my question? But it's Shabbat Vayinafash. Adrabah, Shabbat, it should say, hooray, hooray for the Nefesh. The Nefesh is coming. Motzei Shabbat Vayinafash. So they showed me the Baal Shem asked this question, and based on what Rav Chaim Brim said, it works out very good. Shabbat is another one of those days, let's say, where it's a treasure. It has tremendous kohot, tremendous opportunities to grow. Lo nitna Shabbatot v'yamim tovim ela kedeh she'asku behem b'Torah. The Ben Ish Chai says 1 hour of learning Torah on Shabbat is equivalent to 1,000 hours. And that's not an exaggeration. It's not guzma. He's not just saying, okay, 1 equals 1,000. There's a mathematical calculation, not for tonight, but it can be proven why 1 hour on Shabbat equals 1,000 hours during the week. It's a Kabbalistic mathematical equation that's accepted. So it's not stam. So therefore, Shabbat is a great day. So you have to know when you go into Shabbat that your neshaman yetera, which is that booster, I know that's it's a dirty word, booster, but nonetheless, we'll not weigh in on any vaccine politics. But nonetheless, the neshama yitra is a booster. And therefore, when do you have to recognize it? You have to recognize that this neshama yitra is not going to be with you only for 25 hours. And after it's going to leave. So going into Shabbat, you have to say, whoa, vay nefesh, I better take advantage because I'm going to lose it. It's Motzei Shabbat to cry over spilled milk and say, vay nefesh, whatever happened, happened. It left already, big deal. It left. The vay nefesh has to be said when Shabbat comes in. Now you have to say to yourself, whoa, wait, this is a temporary gift. This is a gift, it's a matanah minat la'azir. They're going to take it back. And therefore, I'm not going to be living with this charge only for 25 hours. So your attitude going into Shabbat should be Shabbat. Vay nefesh. You have to say, whoa, to the nefesh that will be taken away from me. So therefore, at that point, you have to try to take advantage as best as you can. And Hanukkah, obviously, is no different. So if you'll allow me just to make one point. It's a he'ara that I made. Actually, this year, when I was lighting the menorah, so we say some Devei Torah after we light the menorah, and this question came to my head. So I still light outside. That's my custom. I light outside like they do in Yerushalayim, Mirakod. We have a box. We put the menorah in a box, and we put it outside on the porch. And obviously, we have the mezuzah on one side. Mezuzah is on the right, and the menorah is on the left. That's how we light. Although recently I saw that one of the Aharonim wants to say that once the Hachamim came along and said, Mish'ata sakana maniho al shulchano v'dayo, that whoever lights outside is not yotzeh. Because the rabbis took it away. They took that deen of lighting outside away. It's already Sh'ata sakana. Look in the Hazon of Adiyah. Chavon of Adiyah has a big teshuvah. Rav Shlomo Zalman, also Rav Yashim, also attacked that rabbi that came along and wanted to say, if you light outside, you're not yotzei. You might not be obligated to light outside. But now Baruch Hashem, achshera dareh, lighting outside, we don't have sakana anymore. Today Baruch Hashem, it went back to the old tradition. Nonetheless, I was telling my kids, I said, listen to this, boys. We have the menorah on the right, the mezuzah on the right, and we have the menorah on the left. They have the sesit, we're surrounded by mitzvot, chotam shulash, everybody knows. Then we say all the different tefillot, but then we noticed, we walk back into the house. Now when we walk out of the house, everything reversed. when you leave the house, actually now the menorah is on your right and the mezuzah on your left. So the question is, what is it? Is the mezuzah on the right and menorah on the left? Or is it, it was the opposite. Why did the rabbis pick it that direction? It all depends from your vantage. The mezuzah can be on your right just as much as the menorah can be on your right. So why did the achamim come along and say, no, mezuzah b'yamin, b'menorah, b'small. Yeah, that's one way. But it could be the same way if you're walking out of your house. Understand the question? So I found that actually the Hiddushei HaRim asked this question. And the Hiddushei HaRim says a beautiful, easy, clean sevara. The Shadim says like this. We know that the right side is always the primary side. In Torah law, right always has a precedent. Over left, nothing to do with Kabbalah. Leave Hesed and Geburah, put that on the side. Right always has a Derech Yamin. Kol Piniyot She'adam Poneh, Enu Poneh Ela Derech Yamin. The way they walked around the Mizbeah. We always give a precedence, either starting with Yamin or going towards the Yamin. The right is a precedence. Yamin Ikar. So the Rav Hiddushei HaRim says, beautiful. What is the mezuzah's purpose? The mezuzah's purpose is in order to give protection for the house, for what's inside. So therefore, when you walk inside the house, the position of the mezuzah must be to the right. Because ikar mezuzah is for bifnim. Masheenken menorah, the ikar is for the chutz. Menorah is a din in what? Persumen nisa. So therefore, when you're walking out of the house, he says the menorah will be on your right side. So both are on the right. Mezuzah is on the right to the nechnas. Because that's the primary function of mezuzah. When you're walking into your house, it's a chobat hadar. It's the obligation on the dweller. Masheenken menorah. Menorah, we say nirushu beto, but it's persumenisa. Either you put it by the window, or you'll put it nirushedikai yoter mechaf amaz pesula. Why? You can't see it. You got to bring it down, relight it again. What's the purpose? Because it's for the people to see. So therefore, when you're coming out of the house and you're going into the Rishut HaRabim, there the menorah is in the primary place. The menorah is in the right. So that clarifies the positions of where these two mitzvot might be. Both are on the right. And it all just depends from what angle you're looking at it. If you're looking at it from the standpoint of the house, then mezuzah ikar. And if you're looking at it from the standpoint of the Rishut HaRabim, then menorah ikar. Both enjoy the right side. It just depends from where you're looking at. How's that? Well, that allowed me then to develop a derash. And I'd like to present the derash that I developed based on this concept. I was once by Rabbi David Abu Hasera from Nahariya. May he live and be well. The great tzaddik, Rabbi David. And he told me the following hiddush. He said, what does it mean when we say that they're going to ask a person at the level, kavata itim la Torah? You have to make a kibiyut. I explained it to him simply, a kibiyut, fixed time. He said, yeah, that's the simple pshat. You don't think I didn't think you knew the simple pshat. You didn't come all the way to Nahariya to be told, kavata mitis, you fixed times for Torah. So he quoted a Gemara at the end of Metzi'ah. And the Gemara says over there, a pasuk, v'koveya kov'ehem nafesh. In that pasuk, koveya means to steal, to rob. So he says, Kediut itim laTorah doesn't mean to fix times. It means to steal time. What's the pshat? Nobody has time. We know that already. Everybody's busy. We're all busy. My wife says that the errands would never end if it wasn't for candle lighting time, which is the only thing that stops the errands is Shabbat. If it wasn't for Shabbat, it would just perpetually continue another errand, another thing to do, another tirda. And everybody in this room, we know for a fact, is busy. We're all busy with good stuff, with important stuff. So the Rav said, if you're going to come along and wait until you unbusy yourself, you'll never learn. So the Rav said, they're going to ask you a question in 120 years. Kavata itim? Did you steal the time? You have to steal it. You have to go into knowing, I don't have the time, but nonetheless, I got to rob it. You got to be a robber. So I want to tell you a project we started in the synagogue recently. After COVID, so we realized that, I realized at least that the Baal Batim do not need to be in the office as much as they thought they had to be. Everybody figured it out. This guy was home, this guy's on the Zoom, Gamzum Netovah, the Zamzumim, everybody was figuring it out. And now all of a sudden, I said to myself, well, maybe we could get some Baal Batim to come to the synagogue at some unconventional times, like second Seder. So I started once a week in the shul, a second Seder for Baal Batim. But not stop learning Ibn Ezer, Tur Bet Yosef, proper, Be'iyun. And I named the Kolel. It's my name. Now, we're looking for a sponsor, but that's not what I came here for tonight. The name, it's a hard name to sell, but that's the name. The name is called Kolel Gozle Hazman. The Kolel of Gozle Hazman. And every week, we either learn on Tuesdays or Wednesdays. And I make the following announcement to the congregation. I say, this Kolel is only, first of all, you have to be a working. It's not for rabbis. So you have to come in with your tax papers that we know they have a job, they're holding a job. It's only for the Baalei Batim. And if you're available to come on Tuesday at 4 o'clock, it's not for you. We're not looking for people who have the time. If you're available to come, then go find another place. But that's not for us. We're only looking for people who don't have the time to come and are busy. If that fits your... So now you can't get out of it because the guy comes in, I'm busy. Perfect, you're the guy. You can't escape. That's exactly the customer. We're looking for the guy who's busy, perfect. Another guy says, Rabbi, I'm taking off Tuesday. You're taking off now for you. Unless you have to steal it, the kolel goes last. And how do we start the seder? Because I have to give them the money mekomot in the beginning of the seder, and then we say a shiur at the end. So we have, I'm not going to exaggerate, we have about 7 to 10. And I make the announcement every day, I'd like to welcome all the gazlanim that are here with us today. And there was one time a rabbi from Israel that came to the session. He went, what, gazlanim? Yes, these are gazlanim. But the best type of gazlanim, these are white collar gazlanim, white shirt gazlanim. Gozle hazman. They're stealing the time away from the Havel Havalim and they're putting it back in the Torah. And that's the real question. Kavata itim la Torah. Did you steal it? Did you take something that you didn't have and you were able to replace it with something that is valuable? Like Maimonides says, Harambam writes a lesson in investing. His lesson in investing is, he says, always invest in the non-perishable and take your money out of the perishable. What does he mean to say? Take it out of the kaleh and put it in the kayam. Example, if you have $10,000 to invest, don't buy $10,000 of tomatoes unless you have a fruit store, because in a week those $10,000 of tomatoes are going to perish and you have nothing to show for it. Mm-hmm. But take the $10,000 and put it in real estate. Real estate at least will last a little longer than the tomatoes. Well, I say the same thing. If you have time, that's our commodity that we have. Now, if you invest it in Olam HaZeh, your time, that's tomatoes. It's a perishable item. Olam HaZeh is perishable. It's going to end. Now, it has a longer, let's say, shelf time than a tomato does, but at the end of the day, it's a perishable item. So it's a bad investment. Any investment of time, which is the most important commodity that we have, what do we have except time? So to invest it so much in Olam HaZeh more than necessary, it's not savvy. Take it out of the kaleh and move it into the kayam. Now Olam HaBa is kayam. It's more kayam even than a piece of real estate, because most real estate outlives its owner. But Olam HaBa will not. Olam HaBa is netzach netzachim with the owner. So it's a good investment. Only problem is, why do we get so attracted to the amusement of Olam HaZeh? Well, at least where I come from. I don't want to incriminate and indict any of the tzaddikim that are here tonight. I'll just talk about where I come from, because I know my place. I don't know this place. It doesn't seem to be the case in this place. But where I come from, it definitely is the place. It's not that it seems, it is. That's the mitziyut. There's a tremendous amount of competition where we compete against each other and we want to reach higher levels of materialism and physicality. I'm not talking about kenat sofrim. I'm talking about the base raw kenah. You know, the one that the Mishnah is talking about, that's motziyat adam min ha'olam, not the good one. I'm talking about the real ugly kenah, where people become obsessed now to have a better house, and better furniture, and better clothes, and better automobile, and that can keep you very busy. And there's no end to that. And once you start with that, there's no end. And that takes you away from investing in the permanent, because you're too busy investing in the, what Shlomo said, Avela Balim. I once saw a derasha, it says, Sheker Achen, which simply means sheker achen, hen, beauty, niceness, all these things, sheker, yofi, physical beauty, hevel, nonsense. But one rabbi said better, he said no. Sheker, things that are deceitful and are not right, achen, there's a charm to it. The hevel, stuff that is nonsensical, yofi, there's a yofi to it. They're right, because there are people who are attracted to sheker and they're attracted to hevel. There's a yofi and a hand to it. Everybody's running after it. So that's very important then, to what the rabbis told us, to be sameach bechelko, meaning sameach bechelko of your physical level. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't go to work. Of course you have to go to work. Far be it from me. I told you, we don't let those guys come to the kolel unless they have a job. So they need to go to work. Kavata etim la Torah implies that you're doing something else. If you have to rob from something else, that means you're doing something else. So we're more there. You have to go to work. But the attitude is like this. When you walk into your house, the first thing you see is the mezuzah. Now, what do you see on the mezuzah? You don't see the scroll. That's wrapped up in a case. What's the only thing you see? Exactly. You see the Shem. What Shem do you see? The Shem Shakai. Shin, Dalet, and Yud. Now, the simple explanation they'll tell you is because it's Rashi Tevot, Shomer, Daltot, Yisrael. That God protects the doorways of Israel. It's insurance policy. Very nice. Amen. But there's a deeper explanation. A person comes into his house. He has to look at the Shem, Shin, Dalet, and Yud. And he remembers what the Gemara Hagigah says on this name. She'amar le'olamo dai. That you have to come along and say, when it comes to the physical things, when it comes to the house, when it comes to all this materialism, you have to stay. She'amar le'olamo dai. Not to be running in the rat race and trying to compete and trying to do better, because it'll never end. You have to say to yourself, if I have something, I think I once, I didn't tell it here, but there was once two neighbors, Jewish guys, and they lived in that world of kin'ah. You know, they lived in that world of jealousy and competing. So one guy, Mr. Cohen, rich guy, decided to get a limousine. Nice, fancy guy's a limousine. So the other guy across the street, Mr. Levy, his wife says, what, he's richer than you? Well, you could afford a limousine. Why don't you get a limousine? He says, you know something? You're right. If he can get one, I'm going to get one also. So he went to the dealership. I want the same limousine, Mr. Cohen. Okay, now they meet at a red light the next morning. So Levy tells Cohen, yeah, I got the limousine just like you. So he tells him, do you have a kitchen in yours? And he pulls away. He says, what, do you have a kitchen? How does he have a kitchen in there? He says, well, what does he need a kitchen? He just came from his kitchen. But he was obsessed. He became so obsessed. He went to the dealership. He says, it's true, Mr. Cohen has a kitchen. Yeah. I want one also. He says, but he's crazy. You want to be crazy also? What are you doing it for? So he comes along and says, don't ask questions. I want the kitchen and that. And all the, you know, the appliances also. Okay, for what purpose? Puts the kitchen in. The next day they come to the red light. Levy honks the horn. So he tells him, yeah, I got the kitchen. So he says, yeah. But do you have a gym? Gym? You have a gym in a car? And he pulls away. He goes back to the dealership. He tells him, it's true, Cohen has a gym. He says, yeah, he put a treadmill, he put a track. Why have a track in the car? He says, this is what the guy did. He said, do me if I want the same thing. He said, but you have to get a variance now for this. This is a building. Fine, he puts it in. A couple of days later, they get to the red light. He honks the horn, Levy, honks the horn. No answer. Honks the horn again, no answer. So he gets out of the car. He bangs on the window. He's Cohen. Opens the window 3 inches. Said, what do you want now? He says, I got the gym. He says, for that you called me out of the shower? Which you see, if you're living in that world, ends off. So that's why, my opinion, when a person walks into his house, well, that's his castle. The person's house is where, that's where his geshmiyut is. Let's look at the mezuzah, shamal olamot dai, sameach belko, because then it'll change your attitude, because then what happens, when you leave the house, and this is what I'm talking about, the energies that you can only get on Hanukkah. When you leave your house on Hanukkah, what do you see on the right side? You see the menorah. And what does the menorah represent? The menorah represents Torah. Now, what is it telling you? That when you leave the house, you can only go to the kollel and you can't go to work? I don't think so. Because how long does the menorah have to last? You know, Chazak Baruch, half hour. Next was kollel. Half hour. Now, I would have loved if the Gemara would have just say, how long does the menorah have to last? Hatzi sha'a. But the Gemara does not never make it so simple. The Gemara always finds a, you know, Talmudic way of telling us a half hour. And what's that Talmudic way? You know it better than me. Ad shetichleh regel min hashuk. That's the Gemara on Shabbat. That until there's no more legs in the street. Which means, as long as there's people in the marketplace, and the Gemara, she explains it, how the guy comes late, he comes back. It's a half hour. That's the time that the Hakamim gave. And that's the time, ad shetichleh regel min hashuk. I just had a simple question. Apia derash, at least. It's regel or raglay? Yeah, it's grammatical. Nobody likes grammar, I know. And I know you can probably squeeze it regel. The Arizal has a whole understanding why it's called regel. But I would have written the Gemara, Achitechle raglayim min hashuk. I'm assuming there's more than one person in the shuk, and I'm assuming that there's more than one leg in the shuk. What, it's one guy's leg? We want the guy to have one leg out of the shuk? Achitech regel min hashuk? No, Achitech raglayim min hashuk. Stop, it's a technical question. I'm not saying that I lost sleep over this question either. We know what it means. We know what the Gemara means. But if you want to be technical, see, Darshanim, they love to be technical because of these technical problems we can create in the Darsh. So, it served me well being grammatical in this case because I have a Darsh. You ever hear of an addict? There's a certain addict that they talk about, the workaholic. It's somebody that's addicted to work. I don't know if they have a rehab for such a vice, but there are people that I would call them that they have not one leg in the office, but they have both legs in the office, which means Rosho, Rubo, Veshulchano, they have their whole essence. They're in the office. That's them. That's their mahout. Get up in the morning, go to shul. They don't can't even stay till the after Alim al-Shabayah. They have to fold their tefillin a little early and run out. Well, I got to get there. What are you getting? What's going to happen? 9 o'clock office not going to be there? No, I got to get there. And they stay late. Mashkimim u'ma'arivim. Not b'batik ha'nesiyot. B'misradot. That's a guy that has two legs in the business. That's too much. You know what? When you walk out of your house, at least on Hanukkah, it's supposed to remind you of the menorah. Ad shetechle regel min hashuk. Take one regel out of the shuk. Take one regel out of the office and put it in the Beit Midrash. Don't totally remove yourself. You have to make a parnasah. But the purpose of the menorah is to remind you. You need to make a kibiyut. So when you walk into your house, you're reminded, listen, die. You don't need a shower in your car. You don't need every single luxury, because then you will not be able to spend one leg outside of your office. Because then you're going to rationalize, I need to catch up, I need to do more. So both are teaching you great lessons. Mezuzah b'yamin, she'amar la'olamo, die. Menorah b'yamin, at least for these eight days, to remind you, the goal is, Tichle regel min hashuk. Take one leg out of the market. Take one leg out. And where are you going to put it? You have to put it somewhere. Put it in the Beit Midrash. And that's what we have over here, Rabotai. Over here we have a edut ne'emana, an open miracle and an open testimony. And I'm glad my eyes are able to witness it. There's a lot of raglayim over here. But what's the sada shaveh to all these raglayim that come to the kolel here every night and every morning? Where did these raglayim come from? These are not raglayim necessarily that came from the kolel or from the yeshiva. These are raglayim that come from the shuk. And you removed that regel from the shuk and you've put one foot here in the Beit Midrash. That's Hanukkah, that's the nes of Hanukkah. If the Greeks were around today, this is on their list. They have the target. They have the crosshairs on this place over here. This is a place that threatens Malchut Yavan. Well, they're not around today, Baruch Hashem, we survived them. What they were involved is bringing Choshech into the world, darkness, and in this kolel over here, even if you shut the lights, there's still a lot of light in this room over here. It's not a physical light. But it's a light of Torah, and you could feel it the second you walk in. You know what type of place this is. It's tangible, the feeling. It's like it's said by Makat Choshech, Yamesh Choshech, where the Choshech had a mamashut. This is Yamesh Or. The Or has a mamashut. You can feel the Or, you can feel the light. And that's to your credit. But no, Hanukkah is going to be over in a few days. So therefore, Shabbat. Vayinafash, you have to know now that it's going to end. Don't wait till it ends and say, ha, vayinafash, it's over. You have to know that it's going to end before it ends. And therefore be smart like Yosef HaSadiq, like Rav Chaim Brim said. Collect, 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 collect. Collect as much as you can in order that it should carry you for the rest of the year. In the meantime, to all those that are here, I pray to all of the gazlanim that are present here tonight. Ashlechem v'ashlechalkechem. This is a gezel that is not gezel of chas v'shalom, a crime. This is a gezel rashi tevot gamzu letova. Gezel is gamzu letova, which means this is for the proper way. And this is a gezel that you're going to get rewarded for. Over here, they're going to pay you kefir, like they, the ganav has to pay kefir. This is the opposite. It goes in the opposite direction. You're going to get a reward of kefir kiflayim. To that I say, Be'azat Hashem, may you learn the lessons of the two mitzvot that are on the right. We don't have any mitzvot that are on the left. Both mitzvot are on the right. All mitzvot belong on the right. No mitzvah belongs on the left ever. The mezuzah is on the right and the menorah is on the right. It just depends which direction you're in. But when you go in, you'll remember when it comes to Gashmiyut, Dai le'olamo. And when it comes out, you'll remember Tichle Regel Min Hashuk. I wish you all Hag Sameach.